This conference is being recorded.
Walker Fire Protection Association, October board meeting.
And we're getting rid of that hefty bill that you guys keep emailing me for 30 cents a month. Somebody on?
Sure. I bought an extended warranty. It's in this receipt.
Wow.
Okay. We've got a little late start. We've got a little late start on the executive session, so we've got a little late start on the general board meeting. Does the heater, we need to shut the door to keep the heater working in here? Or?
The heater's not on.
Oh, okay. So we're doing fine.
Get a little hot air in here.
Okay. We don't have the flag in here, so I'm going to wave the Pledge of Allegiance. Approve the agenda. Do you have an agenda that was presented? And are there any additions to the agenda? Chuck, did you say you
had something? Yeah, I wanted to put on the safer grant thing.
Say it under new business? That's under old business. Okay.
And
where's your agenda?
The new business navigation. Emergency vehicles.
Thank you, Wesley. What?
Anybody else need one?
There you go.
All right. Okay, they're right there on the corner of the desk.
Yep.
Okay. And then, Russ, you said I forgot to put in the planning.
Oh, yeah, long-range planning on a committee.
Review of the planning committee. So that's under old business?
Yes. Well, you got it under committee reports.
Oh, we can do it under committee reports. Okay. Put it up there. Any committee can come in if they don't. Okay. The modifications to the agenda are discussion about the planning committee and any input we received from that, safer grant, and the navigation under new safer grant under old business, and the navigation equipment for vehicles under new business. Have a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Vic, there you are.
Second.
Where's Onesian when you need him? Any discussion about the agenda? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, you have any public comments to open the meeting? Anybody have anything to say at the beginning of the meeting for us? Hearing none. Okay, we have a couple topics here that need to be fleshed out, and one of them will be, and Vic, I wasn't aware of, maybe the rest of you weren't. After the Firefighter Appreciation Day, we were still cleaning up, and Timmy Reed showed up, and we were talking, and she had her dog with her, and she just made the comment that she used to run her dog down here, you know, come down and exercise the dog along the street, and she had to stop doing that because the dog was finding piles of human excrement and rolling in it, and she just couldn't do it anymore. So I've been ambivalent about the prospectors. We've suspected that this may be the case, that they're using, you know, the outside there for their personal toilet. And that, coupled with the fact that our kids and the kids that come to pancake breakfast and these functions play in this creek, we went ahead and we'll talk about it later in under new business, but
have some resolution.
We have to resolve how to deal with this. We don't want to be in the business of controlling the creek in terms of prospectors, but that's a public safety issue now. If there's going to be that kind of activity down there, so they pushed me off the edge on the negative side of this. So we'll see what we can do. Other than that, I think the agenda covers what we're going to talk about. Everything seems to be running along pretty well. Firefighter Appreciation Day went very, very well. It was well attended. We had 135 chairs is what we have out there. They were full. If you dared get up, poor Stephen got up, and he had to save his seat because as soon as you stood up, somebody would sit down for you. Okay. Musical chair. Secretary's report.
So the minutes of the September board meeting were distributed to the board for review, posted on the website. Following up on some June business, I had still not received the confirmation from Bill Whittington's office that they had filed the restated, the approved articles of incorporation with the state, articles for state law. Contacted his office, received a copy of the state's approval, The state filed the revised articles on 18 July. Bill Whittington's office has not yet received the published version from Verity Independent Newspaper, and they're following up on that missing item. In addition to that, I've received a list of addresses that have been adjusted by the county. Several addresses which were listed up on Big Bug are now addressed on Snowdrift Mine. Yeah, big change there. So I'm adjusting our data to reflect those updates, and then shortly after that, I also received some additional updates from Sharon on new residents. And Vic, she's forwarded the check to you.
Okay, thank you.
So can I get a motion to dispense with the reading?
Second. Any objections? Everybody objects, that's it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thanks, Russ. You didn't happen to have a conversation with them about there's some requirement to send the new articles to the IRS for an update to them? Okay, when they call you back, ask them about that.
Okay.
Treasurer's report. Is there a possibility, Vic, that we get a summary rather than all the numbers?
These are summaries for the most part.
Well, okay.
I gave you a summary in the email.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll give you the summary. I won't read all the numbers.
Yeah.
For the first 4 months of the year, contributions are up $5,000 more than budgeted. Our expenses are down $6,600 from what was budgeted. So our net income is $13,000 to the good. However, let me just tell everybody, I mean, all this is about timing, you know, it's about timing when bills come. You know, if the truck breaks down tomorrow, you know, $13,000 goes away real fast. So it's not like, you know, you can count, this is money we can go out and spend. Our cash remains pretty consistent, you know, a couple of grand more, a couple of grand less than $110,000. So far, so good. Second part of my report is I have been talked to a couple of outside bookkeepers for comparative pricing, and frankly, I haven't found anything any cheaper than what we paid. I'm not done with it yet. I got a couple more leads. We're budgeting around $6,000 for a bookkeeping service. If you divide that by 12, it just ain't much for people that are doing payroll, doing the payroll taxes. Matter of fact, I got to go sign all those forms. Taking in the contributions, putting out the thank you letters. I mean, we've got it down to our science now where it's not taking them any time at all. I mean, check comes in, there's a form, they write it, handwrite it, and mail it back to the person, he gets his card. It's much faster now because it's all one step. I mean, so people are getting their thank yous and their tax whatever's, you know, immediately versus 2-3 months, whatever it takes us. So I'm going to keep looking, but I'm not sure we're going to do any better. So, I, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 for, well, none of the past treasurers are here, but.
Oh, Roger.
Yeah, Roger's days were simpler, but, you know, there's no way in the world that you're going to get a volunteer to do it anymore. And this volunteer still, you know, I do all the tax, excuse me, not the tax stuff, but all the cash that comes in, I do all those deposits and all that, because I don't want them to have to pay them to do that. That's about all I want to keep up with, quite frankly. So that's my report.
Okay. Any questions for Vic? All right, the motion to accept the treasurer's report.
I put that motion on the table.
Rudy moves.
Seconds.
All in favor?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You were done anyway.
Okay. Roger, you have a fire chief's report.
Yes, please. So a few things to go over. In terms of calls, very slim up, just a couple of medical calls. Personnel, very exciting news, I think, for everyone, for the department. Mark Keegan has graciously accepted to be the assistant fire chief. I'm thrilled. He's thrilled. The feedback I've gotten from some of the firefighters is all positive. So very thrilled with that. Fleet, patrol 80 Patrol 85, Engine 86, both the tenders have gone through their annual servicing. Says Patrol 80 is in for repair. There was something cracked up possibly on the pump. Whatever the problem was, it was, you know, we took it in to get it fixed. It was so small they didn't even call us to, you know, they called us for like a $48 thing for one of the tenders. So this was small potatoes, thank God. We'll be getting the truck hopefully on Monday. Patrol 83, which is the one that was at my house during the fire season, that is now back in the garage. It's been drained, so nothing will freeze. So that squares that away. We've had people go up to the substation to turn the heater on for the truck that's up there. Training, we had engine operations, and then we had a discussion of the safety report from the Yarnell Hill fire. You know, we didn't dissect what went wrong in the fire. We cherry-picked a couple of things out of the report that are relevant, you know, to us. The most interesting thing was, you know, the difficulty in realizing that sometimes the best thing is to do nothing. That's, you know, was one of the conclusions or one of the comments there, and that is very useful for us potentially, depending on the incident. The upcoming training, this is worth mentioning, we're going to have a helicopter land here from Native Air at around 9:30 in the morning next Saturday. Eric White used to work for Native Air. He's the guy who's the paramedic, but he doesn't live in town. He lives in town. He doesn't live out here. But he arranged for them to come out. They want to see the new helispot and all of that. So if you all want to come, great. 9:30 is when they're scheduled. If you bring a baseball hat, remember to take it off. And take some pictures if you come to that. Howitt, no report. Facilities, I don't think we have anything. Prescott Basin Ops groups. So the first meeting will be November 6th. Again, we're involved with that. It's undergone a transition. And for those of you who don't know, this is the group that plans the big interagency training that occurs every spring. I've been the secretary of it for, I don't know, 4 years maybe, 5 years, something like that. This next one is kind of something we need to figure out. For the Western Yavapai Chiefs Association, Glenn Brown is spearheading a regional grant through FEMA for SCBAs. And if we want to participate, what I have here is we need to apply for 4 SCBAs, which we can amend that, but I'll get to that in a second, 14 masks, and we need to pay for 10% of the costs, again, if we're going to participate. The full expense of the SCBA and the whole thing that we're buying, which includes the spare bottle, is something like $7,000. So 10% is obviously in the neighborhood of $700. 4 of them obviously would be about $2,800. Plus, there's a requirement for masks. Basically, it works out what we need to have 14 masks, which I think 10% of 14 masks is going to be $400 to $600. It's a lot of money. We've had better luck, just, you know, pure dollars and cents, talking on a nominal basis, buying used stuff as we find it. This obviously is brand new, would be state of the art, and so it's kind of a big decision to make. And I'm not quite sure how I feel yet. However, I did come up with a workaround to the needing to get 4 of them. The 4 is to satisfy the NFPA requirement for a structure truck, which we have. However, we also have an ambulance. The NFPA requirement for an ambulance is 2. The NFPA requirement for a water tender is 1. So in theory, we could apply, participate in this grant for just the 2, disclosing the ambulance on the grant, omitting the structure truck. So then we're talking about $1,400. It doesn't remove the dilemma that pound for pound, you know, we're paying more even after the 10% business. And that I'm pretty sure that doesn't allow us to have a workaround on the mask. Basically, we need to provide a mask for everybody who's trained per the grant requirement. So I guess I'm throwing that out there. Next issue, and I guess we can circle back to discuss that or at the end of my report?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Appreciation dinner. Bill mentioned the turnout. I got a lot of positive feedback from firefighters about it, which the last 2 years, or however many years it's been, I haven't gotten any feedback at all. So this year, for whatever reason, it was a popular thing. News from other departments. Chief Fryhoe from Prescott has been removed from his position. Chief Coyle has retired from Yurnell. Chino Valley has a new chief. And that's all like that. John?
Two questions. you did well at partitioning out all the costs on those for the grant. What would be the total cost if we were doing what Glenn was asking us to do?
Well, so $2,800 plus six, I think, is the worst-case scenario for a mask. If I'm right about that, 28 and 6 is 3,400.
So 3,400.
If we go full boat.
Full boat.
Yeah. If we go, you know, 1,400 plus 6, obviously that's 2,000. I mean, these are big numbers. I mean, where it's, you know, if the racks were $200 or $300 a piece, if that's how it worked out, or the SCBAs, I mean, you know, there's like a number where, you know, just mental accounting where I start to question whether it makes sense financially, and this is above that mental number.
But it's state-of-the-art stuff.
Yes.
Which we are not at this particular point.
Is there a shelf life on that stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, there is an expense of, you know, we just got a bunch of the SCBAs, for lack of a better word, tuned up. So the big technological enhancement is something called buddy breathing, which allows you to plug into someone else's SCBA. So that's important. However, I think it's two of ours have been updated to actually have buddy breathing. So, I mean, the thing is we're spending money on tuning up, you know, whatever those bills are from United Fire. We're spending little bits of money here and there to tune them up, to keep them current, that sort of thing. At some point, there's a trade-off economically between putting those aside and ponying up for new ones. And, you know, I'm really not sure that the extent to which we use them, you know, is very minimal. So it's a true dilemma.
Well, when I say shelf life, though, I mean, the mask doesn't go bad in 5 years, does it? Or if nothing,
There are limits. I'm not sure about the masks directly, but there are limits to the SCBAs and there are limits to the bottles.
But it's years, not months.
Right.
Well, to me, if you can piggyback something like this, I think we'd be foolish not to.
I think you're right. I mean, I would go for the whole thing.
Okay.
I have a second question.
Okay.
My second question was, are these other fire department people leaving, is that going to impact us in any way? Do you see any impact from all these different chiefs?
It's only conjecture. Prescott Fire, I would describe them as being very friendly toward us. And, you know, don't know who the new permanent chief is going to be. The temporary chief, Eric Krieger, is friendly towards Walker Fire. The other battalion chiefs are generally friendly toward Walker Fire. You know, it's pretty clear it's not going to be one of those guys who becomes the chief. That could be wrong, but that's pretty clear. So, you know, I can't imagine that a new chief comes in, you know, assesses the landscape and says, well, the heck with Walker Fire. You know, we're not going to make, if he's from out of the area, we're never going to make the guy's radar. Central Yavapai, I would say, has not been particularly friendly toward us. I mean, no animosity or anything like that, but a couple of times we've asked for help, and, you know, I'd say in terms of asking for help, we're 1 for 3 with them. And so it's possible, you know, that we can make some headway there, but I don't know. Chino Valley, we don't really have much direct contact except some of the big events, so I think that's a push.
Okay.
Same with Yurnell. I mean, Yurnell is, you know, we have no interaction with them.
Paul leaves, maybe we can fold Central Yavapai into Walker.
Sure. No, we tried to do that once before.
What do you think? Can you handle it?
Huh?
Can you handle it free?
Did you have a question, Rudy?
Who's the guy at Central Yavapai?
His name is Paul Weiss.
Bill lives up on Big
Chuck.
Yeah, he's a Walker resident.
Do you have any questions, Russ?
No.
Okay. Nick? Well, I kind of lost you in the math for the financial part of it, but it looks to me like you have 14 masks at $600, it's $840 at our 10% commitment, and then it'd be $240 for the scubas if we're paying 10% of the grant cost, right?
That'd be wrong on this.
Yeah, that's $1,000.
No, wrong math. Our nut on this would be about $3,000 total, if my math is right, and if we go for all four SCBAs.
Okay.
But you know what? Historically, you never get what you asked for. So
depends, yeah. But even if we did, now you're buying safety equipment for firefighters. Whether or not we ever use
eBay and make some money.
Whether we ever use it or not, then you have it here, and we don't have to go through this thing again of being behind the power curve. So I don't think it hurts to participate. If it comes, it comes. Then we'll have to figure out how to pay for it.
Okay.
I think that we have the cash reserves to kind of eat a $2,800 cost, but there probably would be money come from the community.
Well, down the road, it's going to be a money saver. It's just a matter of how many years payback.
Okay.
So to be clear, it's a grant. It's a federal grant. There's a lot of moving parts between here and there.
Absolutely.
So really what's on the table is, proceeding and how we proceed. So the way I take it is all four SCBAs and whatever the requirement turns out to be for that.
I would guess that our joining in with Chief Brown is a plus, because the more people he pulls in, the more attractive it's going to be to FEMA.
That's exactly right. It's a regional grant. We're trying to have all the departments that participate in the Chiefs Association participate in
that. That was his position before. We did this once before when they had a smaller number of these things. Okay. I have a motion to accept the fire chief's report. Chuck?
I'll second.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Russ would, but he's typing too
hard. He's busy. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Committee reports. Fundraising, you want to briefly talk about what we've discussed in terms of what we might need about a fundraising?
Yeah, it's easy to talk about because nothing's happened. We need one good person that has some fundraising background. We have people that are willing to help, but, fundraising is kind of an animal unto itself. So we need to start talking this up so we get somebody that's willing to take it on, because it's going to tie directly into the planning committee, because the planning committee is planning on what's going to happen, and somebody's got to raise the money to make it happen. The two have to go together. They have to work together. Rudy, I have to say your name was mentioned as a member of the committee. If you'd like to chair, I didn't mention that part earlier, did I?
We'll circle back to that.
Really, usually the fundraising person is somebody who, A, understands fundraising, B, has no problem breaking somebody's arm, and C, likes it. I mean, a lot of people just hate it. So that's not the kind of people you want to come in. If you're afraid of calling somebody asking for money, it's not a job for you. I mean, most people don't like it. I personally have no problem with it, particularly if it's for something that's not helping me.
Vic's already pointed out his deficiencies in time and being available to do this. The other thing, probably,
it needs to be someone that knows people, and I don't. I'm a newbie to it. I mean, I know my circle of friends, but I'm.
What better way?
It's always easy to meet people.
Thanks.
Okay, but Vic, and also in that same idea, then, in terms of fundraising for special funds, we had a discussion about how to handle and what the board's position is going to be on targeted funds.
Can we put this out to the community?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's probably somebody in there that just likes doing this, loves doing it, that just hasn't been approached yet.
Sure.
So throw it out.
And that's the problem. I don't know all these people to know.
Okay.
It's a certain skill set, though. We're going on what you were saying, Bill. The specialized fundraising thing, I think what we all agreed was that if somebody has an idea, bring it to the board. I'm against having a million of these things because I think it does affect the general donations. And so we just want to be real careful that we're not coming up with donor fatigue, and that's that word, it happens very easily when you're asked over and over again for different little things. And what happens is they give the little things, and when it comes time for the big piece of pie, and they're done.
Well, I we had this discussion earlier, and I think we do have to be careful because we're saying, okay, do you want to take a cell phone, a basket, and a shotgun out there and find out where the money is, and do you just want to get this one pie of money, or do you want to ask for a variety of pies of money? And I think we have to be very careful about how we just single this out, because I know the overall thinking is we don't want to dilute the mass giving, but yet, on the other hand, there's money out there that would be given for other projects if we ask for it. So I just think that there's a way to...
And I think that way is to bring it to the board and let us all... Nobody on the board nor somebody in the community should have the right to do a special fundraiser without a board approval.
I agree with that.
Period.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah. I got to think about it for a minute.
Okay.
But I'm going to bring it up.
Let me throw out some things in terms of... I think that in the planning committee we have another... actions that we do, we show the board collectively a support for these different functions, specifically medical. Okay, I think that's what we're talking about here is the current emphasis on funding and providing additional medical help. Last year we approved this the hiring of paramedics to go with the severity patrol. There was an ask for an additional severity patrol over the Labor Day weekend, which we decided not to do. I think that the board, in general, supports the idea of providing medical services as best we can within our budget, and that we use what efforts we can to increase the amount of money that comes into us so that these things that are beyond the firefighting needs, because this is basically what we are as a firefighting organization. That seems to be where we started. And now we were able to add medical coverages with the EMTs. We've had people go to school. We have, we're encouraging people to get the education to become EMTs. So as a part of our function, we support the medical aspects of what's available to us to provide. And when we ask for money, that's part of what we're asking money for. It's not just for the particular fire department. It's asking for the general fund that covers everything that we're asking to fund. Now, when we have a specific need for another truck, for a building or something like that, then those are big projects where you're going to need $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 to do. But at the same time, if we want to have additional paramedic ride-alongs or severity patrols or people available to answer the calls, if we can encompass that from within our budget, that's best. That seems to be the best way to do it. If we have the budget, the money to do it. If we bring in $150,000 into the general fund, we could easily pay for severity patrols with paramedic patrols. But then if you tie our hands by saying, okay, I'm going to give you $10,000, but you have to provide medical coverage or an EMT or severity patrol, then we can't use that if something else happens. If the tender goes out and we have to go buy a tender, there's $10,000 that's sitting there. So, in my view, you want the big chunks of money coming into the fire department so we can make these judgments. The board supports the medical use of that money and expense that comes from that. And trying to identify monies coming in from the outside to take one portion and say, okay, well, I'm only going to pay you for engine 80, or I'm going to pay you for medical or something like that. So it makes better sense to me to have it come into the general fund.
Okay. I'm all for that. We're going to throw out opinions here and recommendations, but I think I'm going to compare it to maybe a good comparison, church, right? You always get asked for money. Constantly ask for money, but that's the way the church is supported, or whatever the organization is. All of a sudden, you need a new organ, or you need a new fire truck. Then you go out for special needs. Then you go out. But the idea, the notion of constantly going, asking for specific new things that maybe aren't big ones, I think, for lack of another word, becomes annoying, and it becomes that fatigue factor that Dick was talking about. And that's my opinion. I feel strongly about it, but I think if we just worked along the lines that you just said, work towards the general funding, and try to stay away from, you know, this constant solicitation of donations, then I think that would benefit. That's my opinion.
Okay.
So, and then trying to process all this, so while we're sitting here chewing this up as a board and knowing what we would like to have done, let's say we hire a fundraiser. We designate, we find someone in the community who's a fundraiser, and they're good at it. We get on the phone, and, you know, they're calling people up, and people say, well, you know, I have donated to Card Farm, but I'm really interested in making a donation to this section of this. And the next person, well, I'll do the general fund. The next person, well, I haven't done the general fund thing because I don't, but I want to donate the money to this. Now, what is this guy going to say? Is he going to say, no, I can't take your money for that. It either has to go into the general fund, or I'm sorry, I can't take your money. So, you know, I understand where we are as a nucleus, and I understand what you're trying to do with this accounting-wise, but I also look at it from the standpoint of fundraising. If somebody is calling up somebody and they're saying, well, I'm willing to give because we have a need for medical services, I'm willing to give something for the medical services. And by the time this guy gets done explaining that, well, that money is going to go into the general fund and we will decide and designate that as medical services later on when we need to, and they're going, quick. If they wanted to donate that to our department for medical services, why don't we just make up what our medical services are and say, okay, this thing.
Yeah.
Let me
throw in on that, because I'm going to use the Red Cross, for example, because it's a real thing. During 9/11, we were raising gazillions of dollars, but in those days, it all went into a disaster fund, a national disaster fund. And when New Yorkers found out it wasn't all going to go to them, you know, they raised hell. So for years, everything we raised stayed where it was, but then the Red Cross was going out of business, you see, because nobody was paying money for the infrastructure for the organization. So it'd be like Roger never getting, nobody ever gave money until the truck rolled out, and, oh, I want to fund the Green Gate fire. You know, that's kind of what the Red Cross was like. Well, that's great, but the trucks still have to be taken care of. And I'm with you 100%. I say if somebody says, I want to give to this only, we take the check and we'll honor the intention, but after we try to convince them that we're better off, this is what the Red Cross is doing now, if that's really what you want to do, we can do that, but we'd much prefer you just put it to the general fund and let the board of directors determine how it's going to be best spent.
Okay.
So if you can't do that, you're right. We don't want to turn away anybody.
You don't want to turn away anybody.
How often does that really happen?
Never.
Somebody actually.
Not mine. Okay. Hang on. There's no motion in front of it. We're just giving a discussion here. Russ, you have anything to add to any of this?
No, it just becomes an accounting nightmare.
Yes, it does.
You know? Okay. And then, you know, I'm looking at if you're going to give me a P&L statement to look at, I'm going to have to look at every account. And what if something is underfunded or somebody thinks something is underfunded? What do? Do we take money from general fund and push it in there because there's not enough there? Do we only fund severity patrols if there's enough money in that, in the medical fund?
You're absolutely right. And what it becomes is you're just playing with the money. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. Okay. Roger?
When I was treasurer, we had one check come in that was designated for something, you know, literally one. I think it was $50.
But it was back in the day when $50 meant
something.
Meant something.
Wasn't the 60s. A comment was made earlier about when I was treasurer, things were much simpler, which is 100% correct, much infinitely simpler. What we're talking about, depending on how it's managed, goes a long way toward making the department far more complex than it probably needs to be. We can't say no to anybody. That's not the point. But in terms of being mindful of, you know, we're all doing this part-time as a hobby, and part-time might even be too much of a description. So to the extent we can devote a few brain cells to how we keep it simpler and then trying to implement against that. If someone is hell bent to give us $1,000 to, you know, for the fist bag fund, which is those yellow bags that's, you know, if someone is hell bent to give us $1,000 for that obscure purpose, ultimately we have to take it. But where we can make it simple, you know, we should, or not have to.
Okay.
I think we should.
That was all right. Point. Okay. All right, so we're moving on from the committees here.
All right, let me stick on this one thing, because I want to follow up what Russ said, because he's absolutely right. Right now, we have one account that says contributions. You know, I rolled that in from when I redid the whole chart accounts a couple of years ago, because they were so convoluted. They were like 8 pages long of chart of accounts. So now we have like one page of chart of accounts. And this is what's going to happen. So the $1,000, $1,100 was given for medical at the appreciation dinner. It's still going into the contributions thing, but, you know, I'm just keeping a little pad on the side saying, okay, we got to. Otherwise, somehow or another, then we have to have a medical receivable. And then when
right.
we go to pay the bills, we have to start setting up things that, you know, are accounts for payables. And then who's going to determine, well, that could be medical, that could be fire, you know. And so we have an outside accountant that doesn't know, he's not going to be able to differentiate between all that. So it's really, as long as the public understands that we're going to honor it, but it's going to be in the Walker method and not be in the most, you know,
okay.
professional approach.
Okay.
Even
off of fundraising. He can talk to us later.
Uh-huh.
I know. Okay, bylaws.
Bylaws, I am in the process of getting that finished. I will have tomorrow, actually.
Okay.
That's up this week and hopefully in the next week.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, we're entering into this, I don't know, call it dormant season
yeah.
here, where, you know, when the Oakleys are gone and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but we do need to have this out, you know, several months prior to the annual meeting. So, and we actually have to have some discussion in the board, you know, about what we're going to be doing.
Be
okay. Firewise.
Firewise.
Anybody else
on here? But here's the last go around on the dumpster thing. We sold 15 roll-offs. We figure we probably had a 10
this
tons.
This last go around?
Yeah.
15 of those big things?
Yeah, I figured that we had 600 cubic yards.
Six of those gigantic?
15 of those gigantic.
15.
Yeah. We had one for needles, and the rest of them were over here.
Well.
So the needles roll-off cost us, you know, $473. Lauren made a deal on the other ones where we could get them done for $160. They were hauling them out to 17 somewhere and dumping them. I don't know where, but thank God. Otherwise, that would have cost us probably $600 a piece on those. Total roll-offs on these things was about $3,200. And so all told, we got a bill for about $9,729.
Covered by the grant?
Well, we're hoping.
Okay.
The shutdown, the grant monies are slow to be reimbursed.
Yeah.
So
federal
understands.
Money administered by the state.
Everybody understands.
And so the spigot is not off somehow, but it will be slow.
It's slow.
Yeah.
So it was a hell of a thing. I mean, really, when you think about it, the more we do this, the word gets out, and the more stuff we. I mean, I was down here on the third day of grinding, and fourth day they were still bringing stuff in while we were grinding. So it was. I mean, if you think
did
about.
Did you see the stack at all?
Yeah, I did. Some people thought I was crazy. I backed up the needles. I was filling up my truck because I needed needles to spread around my house because it's still pretty new. Some things I was nuts to, taking the needles.
Yeah.
But thank you for that.
You're entering the season where you're going to get plenty of needles.
Yeah, so we're, you know, hopefully we'll have another grant that will help us in the spring because we're trying to do this twice
sure.
a year.
And people just keep coming with their stuff.
That's oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, and some of that we had. Grant money for cleaning yards where we allowed them to dump here for
right,
cleaning.
Right.
And that's good, you know.
Sure. It's all good.
Yeah. Hopefully that's going to be covered.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. One question about that.
Yeah.
Residents that are paying outside the grant about their properties and mitigating, what do they need to do to help you guys get additional grants?
Well, for the
matching funds.
Yeah, for the fact of the timesheets that should be filled out. Like, for example, this guy just bought this property here to the south of us on R.J. Dillo.
Yeah.
Port or whatever his name is.
The Diefendorfer house?
Yeah.
Yeah. He just bought that.
Yeah. He's been working like crazy now.
He's been working like crazy. And a bid from Helping Hands for $1,000. I said, well, we can go through the. He's having Helping Hands. He's got a new driveway. He's got a culvert in. He's taking trees down. You know, he's going at it.
Yeah.
And so that in that situation, if timesheets should be filled out for his time and then given to Lauren, because that will help us get reimbursed.
Like $2,200.
Yeah, but he Lauren, but it has to be during the grant period.
The timesheets can fill out anything.
I know you can fill them out, but they count toward the grant during the period of the grant. Like, he can't count this in time, in kind expense now for the grant you get next January. That's what he told me.
Yeah, it's for our stuff, it's 50-50 stuff.
Yes, but it's 50-50 stuff during the time of the grant.
But we turn those into PALAC all the time.
Right, and then they use them.
Yeah.
And then they use them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
And is anybody interested in being the chairman of the PALAC?
PALAC? I thought we had a PALAC guy there.
Oh, are you going to be that
chairman?
Chairman. Oh, you mean of the county?
Let's take
up what's his name's position?
No, no.
Let the horse.
He's the horse. He's the horse. He's the horse. Yeah, so, I mean, they solicited me, and I'm like, I mean, it's a great position. Because you have to interact with all the fire departments, and, all, you know, it's stuff that you do with all the
county. Is something you want to do? Okay.
I said, you know, I got to think that over. I said, I'll call you back.
All right.
Anyway.
Any other committees?
Long range planning.
Any other committees?
Long range planning.
Oh, you want to do that now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I just had Chris print off the comments from the website.
Okay.
And I'll copy the talk to everybody because we had a
How
comment.
How many pages were there?
From Russ.
Yeah.
We had a comment from Glenn. We had a comment from Gary Hennicutt and one from Bob Corman and Victoria. So,
do you have copies of that?
I'll make everybody copies of this.
What are they in general?
Well, Bob's is positive, I'm sure.
Bob Corbin said, you know, just hope that all that's going to be proposed can be done, and thanks for what you've done in the press. Gary says he's got two comments. Well written.
Who?
Gary Hennicutt.
Okay.
Has the deadline been set for making a decision on the station of data patch? No. And are there plans to work on joint revenue projects with WCAA? And we haven't worked on that, and we really should open that up.
Okay.
Glenn said he wanted to thank us for that, and he had a suggestion that we take all the acronyms and actually explain them, because not everybody knows what those things are. And I think that's a good suggestion. Russ had too many suggestions to go into. And Victoria's was, needless to say, not exactly positive. Long-range planning proposal document does not read like a planning document. It reads like a wish list. Where is the timeline? Where is the budget? A lot more thought needs to go into this document. Didn't offer that thought, suggested we have the thought.
All right. Okay, so...
That's it. I'll make a copy for it.
Okay, that's fine. And, okay. Yeah.
So,
okay.
That's what that is.
All right. Any reaction to any of that, Rudy?
No.
Fix that over here. You?
No, my comments are on the...
you already made it?
I'm all public.
Phil, the acronyms are not... And in terms of Victoria, in terms of wanting a timeline, I don't believe that's necessarily... This is like a 5-year, 10-year plan. It is a wish list.
Yeah, isn't the stage for that.
Right, okay.
I think we need to work towards that.
Okay. All right, volunteer of the month. Are we through the committees?
Yes.
I'm glad to see Chuck here because nobody's ever here when I have these things to give them. Chuck and Keith have been doing the merchandise all year, and they come and set up at every one of these events, and they just work their little panties off and take bad credit cards over every once in a while. But other than that,
not anymore.
They got it fixed. They got themselves the square or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I really squared them away, man. I gave them the account number for the WFPA, so the money went right in. Unfortunately, I gave them my account number, so we couldn't find the money.
Did, did you get the square to work?
I finally got home for 2 months. I hadn't done my reconciliation. I thought, oh, here they all are.
Well, anyway, Chuck.
About where's this money?
Yeah, I'm calling them, asking where the money is, and it's in my account.
Well, Chuck, thank you very much. We have a certificate for you and for Keith, but Keith is off doing.
He's just playing in the soccer game.
Soccer game.
Grandson's playing sand soccer.
Yeah. So would you give this to him for me? And we got a little off square here.
Okay.
All right. Tell him he has to trim it if he wants to make it look square.
Yes, I'm looking at his hat. I didn't see that on the table.
No, those hats are custom-made hats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those hats for the firefighters, and then I bought this one for myself.
Chuck. Thank you very much, Chuck. Thank you for your help.
I appreciate it. Finally, somebody here to get it.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Old business. Finishing touches for the landing pad, dirt and gravel. We'll have to spend a few seconds about what we're going to do, Rudy.
The average person speaks 6,500 words a day, and I'm approaching that, so I'm going to keep this pretty short. We're going to go ahead and fill that hole over there, some grass and dirt, where the tractor dug in there by the orchard. Yes,
Trevor's parking.
No comment. We're going to fill that in and have it graded out. Probably by next summer, we'll have green grass and weeds on whatever grows there. Around the immediate concrete slab, the helipad, and back over in here, we're going to scrape out some, maybe a couple inches of existing what's there already, fluff it over to the side, and then we'll probably put a leveling course of ABC, and then on top of that, we're going to put some, probably that gravel rock like we have right out here, a little bigger than 3/4 minus, but it's tough and it's durable. It'll sink in, and by the time we ride over that for a couple months, it'll be like a concrete pad, so. Roughly, I've been working with 3 suppliers here, and we're going to be somewhere in the $800-900 range to do that. And then we'll have somebody with a tractor come out, and maybe the new Defender for guy, he's got a new tractor.
Is it his tractor?
He's got a backhoe over there.
I saw that sucker, yeah.
Anyway, we're going to have that graded out. We'll try to get that done yet before the snow falls. And we're going to take, I think as of this morning, we want to go back into the dumpster area where that drive is,
the parking lot,
kind of rub that out a little bit and put some more gravel down there. So I think that'll take care of that mud and sliding for a good couple of years.
Perfect.
I'm sure. I think it's a great idea to fill that hole, but I think that for all the work that Trevor does for us, I think we really should take a small sign. This is Trevor's spot.
Trevor
Memorial.
Yeah. Yeah. In preparation for.
Yeah. Thanks, Trevor.
Okay. Anything else about the? We're going to do as much as we can. To
the county's going to provide us with our senders.
And the senders, and you're going to get senders. Okay. I have the memorial gift of the Yarnell Flying Team. We have that check that we got that somebody gave. And then we're going to, I think we decided last month to give it to the survival, what was the name of that?
Forgot the name of the group. Yeah, I actually had the check still sitting there because I didn't want to deposit it until.
The Central Yamapai Golf Tournament benefited this National Fallen Firefighters Association. They seem to be the least. Have the least amount of administrative overhead, like 10% or less, which is
I'll just give you back the little pile of money I have, and you can deal with it from that.
Well, it needs to pass through us somehow because
does it?
I think so. I don't want to be involved in taking money that they've given to us to give them, and then I'll work it out with you. And if anybody else has any money that they want to donate, then go ahead and give it to you. And then
this is another one of these things that I think we don't need to be the conduit.
We don't need to get involved.
To other
that's
charities.
Right.
I mean,
that's right. Okay. That was an emotional thing that started that.
What we need to do is provide the place to go to make the contribution.
Right. Okay. Anything else about the Yarnell 19 or whatever it is that you want to call them? The Granite Mountain, actually, the Granite Mountain 19. You have some signs and banners here from some event, right? Do you know that you have those back here?
From the memorial, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Somebody was looking for them or mentioned it after the firefighter appreciation dinner, but they are back here.
Okay.
And I see the banner, the firefighter banner. We'll move that back there too. Okay. The monthly unit donations at work newsletter. Rudy, I thought that you were going to do some kind of a, and
yes.
Let's talk about this. Did you write something?
I wrote edition number one. Sometimes my memory fails me, but I thought we were going to do this every 60 days or something.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
I agree.
It's not a monthly thing?
It's not
a
report.
We call it a monthly, and that was
okay.
What do you think
about some sort of a little announcement? After we have announcements prior to, like, the Pancake Day and Bingo, we can certainly write a little blurb that you think people would be receptive to receiving something like that about what happened at the pancake breakfast and what happened at the
yeah. From a monetary standpoint?
Yeah, just kind of, by the way, you know, we had a good time. You know, this is what happened.
And
everybody had a
good time. One page.
I think it's perfect. It's the chair of the fundraising committee. You don't have all the numbers and everything
okay.
attached to it.
Well, you know, and
from the assistant chair, vice chair.
Right. Right.
Well, but that's a different than the monthly year donations at work type of a thing. That's just kind of like a little newsy thing that comes out.
Yeah,
but I don't mind writing something like that because I'm there at those functions. You know, for the most part, you can write them. You're there too. But you've been gone for the last couple, 3 weeks. But we haven't been doing that sort of a thing. Actually, what we've been doing is consolidating them into this 18-page newsletter that we send out twice a year.
Yeah. Well, why don't we meld it into that monthly
newsletter thing? Okay.
I mean, it all involves the donations and participation of the community. So
okay.
I don't want to overload it.
Okay.
That was the whole idea of doing
okay.
it. And then keep it on one page.
Okay. Well, I'll work with you with
okay.
that then, okay?
Yeah.
And you can do some, we'll be discussing the meeting, some things that we're anticipating.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of a little newsflash thing. Okay. I think that's what I thought this donation to work thing was going to be.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
So we are doing that in lieu of doing the
18-page
thing twice a year. What we're doing?
Yeah, we're doing it. It's due now, basically. And,
but that had a request in it for donation.
Right.
So
right.
Where are we with that?
Well, that's okay. Yeah, that's coming up here.
Okay.
Well, maybe that's coming up now. we need to have some sort of a dues notice that goes out at this time of year. So maybe we'll just incorporate that into this little newsy thing that's,
you know,
a page, and keep it less than a page. I agree with that.
Do it front and back. You're good.
Well, no, it's not. We're not going to. We're going to mail it.
Oh,
okay.
He's yanking you.
Oh, okay. But that is something else we need to think about in terms of the newsletter.
That
it needs to go now, and it does need to be mailed. Tweet. Okay, but it does need to be mailed because the email distribution is 350 people. The property owners are 1,000, so we're missing some. So we'll work with the rest of the list. I'll talk to you. We'll draft a letter. We'll send it to the board.
And that's got to be mailed.
And it's got to be mailed. And we'll try to get that done before the end of October.
Anyway, Russ, where are we with the updated mail list? Are we?
We're up to date here. I haven't sent those changes back to Adam because we were going to maybe move to a different bookkeeper.
Nah.
Okay, so I can send changes back to Adam then?
So I find, you know. Like I said, I don't.
Is Adam keeping addresses?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But as of the changes that came,
bookkeeper.
Counter.
Okay. As of the changes that came through yesterday, we're up to date.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So we're going to consolidate this by the end of October. We'll have something presented to the board.
Yes,
we're going to send out, and we'll try to get it done by the end of October. Okay. Welcome information. Anything else about the newsletter and the donations at work?
Why change it?
Okay. All right. In the discussion that we have about whether to send it, we talk about how much to ask for. Okay.
I suggest we raise it at this particular point. I mean, it's been 250 for how long? For a long time.
At least 3 years.
It's been more than that because I've been here.
Okay. Raise the request from
They're going to give what they want to give anyway.
Right, I know.
So, you know, it's amazing how many checks we get for $250. So,
yeah, I know.
I'm thinking if we ask for $300, you know, well, like...
We'll get $300 checks.
Right.
Okay.
Well spoken, Vice Chair.
All right.
He's a real genius to figure that one out.
Okay, anything else about the donation?
Oh, and I just caught that. Thank you.
Welcome information for new owners.
I'm working, and, you know, I got something back from someone who I put in charge of, which was less than appetizing. So I'm going to sit down with Betsy and Lauren tomorrow, and we're going to
redo it. And you said Betsy was interested in participating in fundraising.
Well, this is joint WCAA, WFA.
Right, that's fine.
I think it's great idea. So
okay.
We'll do that. Tomorrow's booking on that.
All right.
And Glenn had mentioned at one point that he'd be willing to even take some packets around to new residents.
That's what you get for coming, Glenn.
Oh, that was happy.
All right. Anything else about the welcome information? You're still working on it. Firefighter Appreciation Day fundraiser, just added in here, is kind of a little, you've already touched on it, Roger. Sounds like it was well received. It was a great crowd. I thought we had a great evening. As long as nobody went to the hospital the next day.
Yeah, I did have a call tonight.
We had a call as we were packing up to leave.
Yeah, upset stomach type of thing. Did he eat here?
No.
Oh, no.
That's what we were thinking on the way, is we're going to get 100 of these tonight.
Yeah. Thank God we didn't. Fire safety education. That's part of the FireWise thing and the FireWise initiative. And what are we doing?
March, they're going to have at the Wildland Academy, I believe they're going to have a emergency response, a defensible space course being taught in March. And it's a 2 or 3 day deal, and I think it's going to be good for. I'm going to go to that probably.
It got canceled at last year's academy.
Yeah.
So
that's
the
people.
Exactly. So I mean, to the extent, you know, that's on the table as another as a threat to this year, maybe we want to make more of a vocal effort to, you know, to push it out, promote it locally. Because I don't remember last year there being any chatter in the locker about it, as opposed to.
When is it going to be?
I think it's in March.
It's the middle of March. It's something like. The academy is something like March 9th for the 17th. It's like the week that Embry-Riddle is out of spring break.
So we need to advertise this
in March.
So we need to advertise that. We need to advertise that.
Yeah.
Get it involved.
Put it on the web.
We probably should. Yeah.
And then the communications we're doing, we'll start adding, you know, about that sort of stuff through the emails.
Yeah.
And maybe not necessarily a mailer, but we might be able to
email
drop that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We just put a blurb up. Maybe they can work with that.
Okay.
Yeah, the timing would be good because the academy should start opening up for registration in November, which is a couple of weeks from now. So,
okay.
Or 3 weeks, whatever.
Is this something that is a fee involved for people that attend?
Yeah.
If it's like the other classes, which I don't know, if it is, it's $65 a day.
And
that gives you lunch.
And the thing for it, right there, WCA was willing to cover some of it, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I have to confirm that.
Okay, so this is an individual thing, the Fire Safety Education. They enroll in the Fire Safety Academy.
Yep.
Okay. Dues notice at the sign, we got that up. That's there on the bulletin board. And we were also talking about painting on the edge of the fissure or the gable?
Yeah, with John on that.
Oh, and SM. Okay.
Yeah, we'll present something here.
Okay. All right. And then nonprofit language. Anything else about the signs? Anybody have anything? Nonprofit language for operating procedures. Chuck, you say you have one drafted.
Yeah, I got one, and I'm working on that.
Which one do you have drafted?
Conflict
of interest. Is that not included in the bylaws?
I think it is, and that's why, you know, I'm going to look at that. I want to look at that again just to make sure, but I think we can have that in the
sure. Bylaws. Okay. Okay. Ads on the WFPA website. We haven't really made any decision on that. I don't know. What is it?
We just have to come up with a number. Like, what do we want to charge?
I have no idea what they're worth.
I mean, we could charge $50.
Is there logic in asking Chris to advise us? Or not? Is that a bad idea?
No, he's spoken, and we've talked about the variety of things we can do, whether it's a static, take the static and make a banner flying by, and we can do that, and it's like, is that worth $50? Is it worth $100? Yeah, because what were we charging for ads in the newsletter?
I don't know.
A lot.
That's a Strava thing.
Yeah. Well, I know that it was full pages worth.
Okay. Talk to Greg. Talk to Chris.
All right.
Let us know. If you come up with something, send us an email and just start it. How about that?
All right.
Okay. Safer Grant. You're going to apply for a Safer Grant number?
Yeah. Because this had come up, and we haven't done anything with it. I was sort of waiting to see if somebody was going to take a lead on it. I guess I will.
Okay.
And I'll apply for the SAM, and once we get that done, and I'll
then
put
you
it,
can decide what grant
well,
you want to apply
for. Once you do
for.
That, then you can get into the SAFER grants, and you can see what
we'll
there
see
are.
See what's available.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'll do that.
Okay. Okay, new business. Prospectors, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. I don't think there's really a lot for us to do other than just take a position. But, Chuck, I think you have some details about that.
Phil called me and told me about several people with defecation problems here with the dogs who only had it. So I called Supervisor Smith's office, and, of course, he was out of town. But I did talk to Cynthia, and she's very good about it. And I sent her some pictures of all the digging, and I made it sound really important. Upon your request, and the request of some community members, and what was going on, and how here's take a look at some of the pictures. Well, she I said, can Supervisor Smith help us with this? And does the sheriff's office have the authority to do anything? Because it's all private property, and. She sent me back an email like 2 hours later, and she said, she called me, actually. She said, well, I talked to the sheriff's office and Supervisor Smith, and she said, here's the deal. This is all private property. And I said, you're not allowed to do that there. And she said, but it's not posted. The signs aren't posted. She said, it doesn't make any difference. It's private property, so when you see somebody out here panning in a creek, call the sheriff's office. She gave me enough. She sent the note to Frank Barbaro, and she gave me the number, and she said we'll be calling there, and we can put this out to the community. We can do it ourselves. Or it's not up to us to police it, but anybody who sees anybody panning over here, which I did yesterday, as I drove into town, I failed to call back. When I got back, I called because they were still there. Sheriff came out and asked me about it, and he said, well, I've driven all over and found that blue truck. And I said, damn, the guy left, But he did say, well, okay, he was aware of the situation, and he said, I'll put an email out to the people and we'll increase the patrol. In fact, the patrol just went by here this morning when I got here. They just came, pulled around, looked at the entire thing, and left.
Oh, he was here because of the camper. We called on a camper.
Well, that might have been too, but, they are. They will respond. And the number, I sent this to all the board members, so you can take a look at that. But the supervisor's office was very helpful and very sympathetic. And when they looked at those pictures, they're like, well, they're destroying the area. I said, yeah, well, So it doesn't have to be posted.
Weren't we going to reach out to a couple of the homeowners about permission to post the property?
It doesn't have to be posted.
No, I called one of those property owners and told her, and that's it. It's up to her to do whatever she wants to do.
But according to the supervisor's office and the sheriff's department, it doesn't make a difference. If they're panning on private property, they're on private property. They're trespassing.
So the creek is owned by. It's all private.
It's all private.
In a lot of states, you can't own. Riparian waterways.
This is
sure that if you think private property, somebody actually owns the bed of that creek.
There's a trust that owns about 5 or 6 acres that's into the creek here. We own a real small portion of that. And then south there, the lady that owns that, this is all private.
Paying taxes on it?
Yep.
Okay. Let's... Okay, navigation equipment for the
We had a discussion about this, talking Stephen and Scott, a few people about what can we do for medical. And, my thought, and I think we raised this issue at the last board meeting, was, could we, for medical, is there a way to get us to the spot quicker, more efficient, or whatever? And we talked about navigation systems last time, and I think the comment was made, well, you know, they pop all over the place. Some of these roads, you can't see them on there, and, you know, and I've just got a new vehicle with a navigation, and I drive it up here, and it's got all these roads on it. And even splits the screen and says, okay, turn off here. You know, I'm thinking, okay, why isn't that possible for us to get one of those things for emergency? So I started doing some investigation on the web, and there was a couple places in the country that have done this. One was, had a deal where the guy, same kind of a situation where they didn't get there, it was late, and so the guy went to Best Buy, and he said, you know, we've got a fire department that needs these. What can you do for us? And so they actually cut a deal with Best Buy. They put them in some of their emergency vehicles, and then they held a wine tasting thing to fund it and pay for it. So I thought, well, this is a great idea. So I started looking at some of these navigation systems. You know, they run somewhere between $80 and $400. And for $260 or $280, you can get one of these things that is pretty accurate, actually. So I thought, well, maybe we ought to think about it. At least put it in the medical ambulance. Start with that, if we wanted to do that. And it's a touchscreen deal, and it gives you, and if you don't have the signal, you can actually buy an antenna for the top of the vehicle, which will amplify the signal. So I have further research to do on this, but I'm just throwing out.
Okay. Well, actually, I've done a little research, and I've got Matt Greenhall and Mark Keegan working on this.
Oh, great.
So from the standpoint of not wanting to reinvent the wheel, either I would suggest tie in with them so that, you know, not everyone's not doing the same thing. I mean, the dollars involved, you know, the question before was not about the dollars because it's relatively speaking, it's small. It's just whether or not GPS will work here. It will.
It will.
Matt and Mark are working on, you know, the best way to move forward. So
you're very qualified at doing this. Absolutely.
So
I'm happy to talk to them about it.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, you know,
are some databases better than others? Because on GPS, I think pretty much all use the same information from like two or three companies.
Yeah.
You have to update it, and I think Joyce's information is getting in there, too. You know, through the county. She gives it to the county. County uploads it.
Mark and Matt are nerdy enough that whatever the answer to that question is.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the answer when the time comes. I actually used my iPhone to find something on Old South Walker Road last night. I didn't know exactly where I was going. It took me right. I was shocked. Sunday school, and then here. I'm, you know, these roads, just the fact that it took me there.
I think it's a good endeavor, and I'll be happy to keep in touch with them. So, in fact, I don't need to lead it. I'll just. Okay, Mark and Matt. Huh?
Yep. Okay. Anything else about the navigation equipment?
Great.
Okay. Rudy?
New business?
Yeah.
Arco's been opened, reopened.
Oh, that's under public comment.
Next to Trader Joe's, life is complete, you know? I don't know where. I do have a couple things.
Yeah, they're hiring.
Yeah.
Maybe you need help.
This is the month that we're supposed to hear back from the Amplify Tribe on our grant.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if that Michelle is still there, but I still have my contacts over there, so I'm going to follow up on that.
And that grant was for what?
For a concrete pad.
Okay.
But now it's going to go towards the Rock. No, it's going to go towards the next spring.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if it works out, then
yeah, okay.
So we can,
okay.
I don't want to use concrete and gravel in the same sentence with her.
Okay.
This comes from my wife, because it would never come from me, but she said that the fees charged for the dumpsters are ridiculously low. No humor on that one. Never mind.
I'll introduce you to some people.
Yeah, never mind. That was a lot.
But now, you think there's people who think otherwise?
I did. A hell of a deal. It's a hell of a deal. That's all I have on the new business.
Okay.
Let's ask a question about the dumpsters for a minute.
No. What? What?
I noticed there's locks change here and there. And
what do you mean locks change?
I mean, they've had some...
People steal the locks.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh,
can we have a class to teach people how to relock the dumpster?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I want to have that.
That's how you're
doing it upside down.
All right, so you open up this bag of worms here now. Okay.
This morning it was all twisted, and, you know, it was
It was like the only way to do it was kind of like this.
Yeah.
And I was able to get it done. And I was, you know, maybe we're going to have 2 8-hour classes and issue certificates upon completion.
Roll the number. Don't set them all.
All right. I want a picture there.
Thanks, Rudy. Thanks, Rudy. Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
All right. What do you think? What do you? Okay. This is totally not on the agenda. What do you think is a fair value for dumpsters? We are still making, okay, we do, the dumpsters provided $6,000 this past year, right? We probably will be another I have another $3,000 that I'm not going to use by the end of the year. We have $6,000 in the account now. $2,500 goes for the insurance to start the new year, so now we're down to, what, $3,500? And
what are we paying now a year? $180. When I lived in Steamboat, a lot of people contracted directly with the big guys, whatever the names
waste
are.
Waste management.
And it was like $60 a month. You know, they 12 times 60 is a lot more than $180.
Yeah, but you're paying on your taxes.
No, this is private. You paid it directly.
No, you're paying that's in your taxes, but we don't get that service, so we have to buy our own service. Part of our tax
bill. No, this is private.
I know that's private. I'm talking about our tax bill.
The fact of the matter is, if somebody had to go out and find a like service, it would be 3 times as much. I don't know what's fair, but I would say call them and ask them what it would cost in the residential area.
$185. Am I going once?
A year? What? We're doing fine at $180.
Hey, I'm greedy. It's funny. It was $6,000 that came into us last time. So let's
get into the business.
There maybe should be a plan about what it is.
Don't rain the dry. You might lose people.
Yeah. Okay.
That's two words you've used today. That's logic and a plan. That oxymoron Walker.
Anyway.
Okay. I'll make some inquiries about what trash collection costs in Prescott Valley for individuals.
That has nothing to do with it. I know that if it goes up very high, I just pick up Steve and 2 other people, and
I know you would drop out.
Now you got to make up for that one.
Sure. Okay. I agree with you. All right. Community announcements. Firewise, WCA, others that have any announcements? Anything that's going to happen? These are announcements like you have some events, you've got a code drive going, you have whatever it happens to be that's going on. You want to make announcements? Okay, now do you have anything to say, public forum?
Yes.
Larry.
Patriot Residential, 8325 a quarter.
So.
Just checked with my son.
Okay. So that's $320.
Close.
All right. But they pick it up at the house. On a daily basis or a weekly basis?
Twice a week.
So people have to haul their own garbage down to the dumpsters, and then they pick it up.
I'm not suggesting we match it. I'm just suggesting, you know.
We could stand an increase?
Right, exactly.
All right, there's a couple. All right. So you have anything else, Larry? Any other?
This
is public comment. You're right.
You shut up then.
Okay. Now you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry.
Trespassing on the creek. I got YCSO's number on here. I can call them. However, Jack Daniels owns some property on Old Walker Road, and people were camping there a couple of weeks ago. And I called Jack and said, "Is this somebody that you know?" And he says, "No. You know, they shouldn't be there. So they're trespassing." I called the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office said the owner has to call.
Yeah,
that I couldn't report it.
That's not the case here.
You've had some experience with the trespass issue. We'll talk about it in a minute. Glenn?
It has to do with the same thing with the creek. I guess I'm going to be all by myself on this one. But I really get unhappy with people that try to interrupt other people's enjoyment. Most communities, if they're any size at all, have a park. Many of them have tennis courts. They do a lot of things for people that may not even live in the community. We happen to have an area that some people enjoy using. I don't believe that that creek can be destroyed any more than it was destroyed 100 years ago. It just keeps getting turned over, and no matter how many holes you build in the thing, it's natural at this time. We have a park here, not much of a park, but it's kind of a place where you might want to go to horseshoes or something like that. So maybe I'll bring some of my friends over, and we decide to pitch horseshoes. We have no place to go, John, here. So what do you have to do? Go back to my house, we could. But why don't we have a port-a-john? If shit in the creek is the problem, let's get a port-a-john for not a whole lot of money, probably for less than what somebody wants to raise. just raise things. And then let the people use the creek for their entertainment. And let the kids run up and down the creek for their entertainment. We don't have to be a police force.
So you're suggesting the park?
Yeah, I would suggest that we do. We pop for a port-a-john for the people that are either here as guests, we all know, or if you decide to go down to, what is it, down in Prescott, the Granite Creek Park, there's nothing that says that you can't go down to down to that park and take your grandkids or whatever and run a little Ferris wheels and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
Do you have another issue? Anything else besides the prospectors? Okay, and the creek. Okay, we'll talk about it with him in a minute. Okay. Chuck, Stephen.
I just wanted to verify exactly the money that we raise for the appreciation. The $1,200 is going toward the medicals, that's correct.
Correct.
And there was a couple contributions that Doc had made at a pancake breakfast. That money is going to the medical as well.
Probably not, unless...
I didn't identify it to him, so we can do that. Okay. That's easy.
I just wanted to be sure, because he happens to be a big... giver, and I'm sure most of the stuff that he wants to give is toward the medical, and he's made that rather apparent. But what happens if another person in our community, not in our community, to give a donation, say, to the medical end?
We decided we're not going to turn it
down. You're not going to turn it down.
Just hang on.
Okay. You're not going to turn it down, but it would go toward medical. Would they get a receipt for the medical portion of it? So that they can use
it. I'm not allowed to talk yet.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. Okay. Thank you.
I think the medical has come a long way here. And I'd really like to see it go. I don't know what the percent of our budget is medical compared to all the contributions. Is there any way of finding that out to see what it is?
Just look at the financials. That's right on there.
Just to see what it is. Okay. But if there was a reason to find out whether we could extend our medical coverage for something, like even picking up the extra weekend for Labor Day or whatever it is, if we had a proportion or whatever it is, you know, how much we're spending and where we'd be needed, it'd give us a good guide as far as what the medical could spend. And see how well we can handle it and keep within the budget. If you know what I'm saying.
I need to respond to this, Bill.
Yeah, I know. But,
okay. Yeah. Okay. And other than that,
take notes.
Roger's appointing of Mark is excellent. I think it's going to be a big plus. And we've got a lot more things that are coming down. And I just, thanks for the support that you've given me and the fire medical end.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. And I'm sorry for all you guys did. it is so easy to have a direct conversation back and forth, but we're actually expressing opinions here, and there's really no answer to some of this. I'll answer what I think was asked, and then every one of you can react. But I don't like to. I just don't want to have conversations back and forth because, talk about it afterwards if you have a individual conversation that you want to have. It just makes it run smoother, I think. The trespassing, Larry. We had an incident this morning. We had a guy camped over here on the parking lot above. Built a fire. Has a little campsite set up there. Was sleeping in the back of his truck. We called the sheriff. I called the sheriff.
That's right.
Could be anybody's property. The dispatcher dispatched, but the conversation I had with the responding deputy when the guy moved and I called and said, don't come, they went ahead and called me back. And his reaction was, did you tell him not to trespass? And no, I didn't, because I didn't want to get involved in a confrontation with him. The only thing I did tell him was, clean up your mess, and to let him go. So there is probably this push that you're going to have with the sheriff's office, and I may call them and see what it is. You've already had the conversation with the county supervisor about them coming out, and we'll see how this works out, because this blends into what Glenn's position is about having a park. If you have a public restroom out here, in the middle of Tempe, we have a park that has no bathroom, and they have hundreds of people in there all the time. Every time they make a move, the city makes a move to put a bathroom in there, they resist it. The neighbors resist it because of the attraction to people then to hang out there for long periods of time. What it is now, people come and go quickly because they come and have their picnic or they have their ball game or they have their practice, whatever, and their dog, and then they leave right away. If we put a toilet out there, it gets filled up with everybody that drives down the road and needs to go to the bathroom. They stop and use it. Even we didn't leave them back here for a week one time, and they filled up from the prospectors using them. It's not so much that, in my view, it's not so much that they do damage to the creek. That there are people who think that's a different issue. To me, it's a sanitary issue because we do have the kids come and they do enjoy this. This is private property. Those kids are trespassing. Lily, his granddaughter, goes down there. My 11-year-old and 8-year-old, and there's been half a dozen kids down there playing in that creek during a pancake breakfast. And I was ambivalent about this until Timmy came and said her dog was rolling in crap down there. And that changes it for me. We don't have mechanisms to have a public park, for the fire department. I think it adds all kinds of liability issues to it. So, yes, it would be great. This is like a park area, but when you have a park in a city, it's property owned by the city. It's not, you don't give access to private property for people to come on and recreate on somebody else's private property, which is what's happening. So I believe that there is going to be an issue about not having signs for trespassing, but it's going to be the people who are doing the prospecting that will have that complaint against the sheriff or whatever action that they take against them for trespassing. I think what will happen is they'll warn them, trespass them off, and if they come back, they'll cite them. I think that's what will happen. Stephen, in terms of the money, you heard the conversation.
Everyone some time where you thanked everyone for the support. I think you were talking as part of the fire department, so I'm going to request that you follow the chain of command, come through me. Right. I'll get you an answer.
About
the finances.
In terms of the...
It's the operations of the fire department.
Okay.
Come through me.
Okay. But you heard the discussion here about how we were going to, because we are struggling with that particular point in terms of the how to deal with people to give us money that are targeted funds, because we have to deal with it somehow. All right, Chuck, I'm sorry. I know that you had some things that you wanted to say. So
I understand what Glenn's saying. We're not interested in trying to spoil people's fun. Actually, the area that's open for prospecting in this community is north of Lake. That's
Forest Service land, they open it, people are allowed to go there. This is public land they can do. This is private land, and I don't know whether you saw some of these pictures or not, but they've been digging, taking trees out in the bank. And I've had the EPA here, I've had the county here, and they've opened an Army Corps of Engineers file on this, because anytime you take material like that and move it into the creek bed, you're actually going against the Clean Water Act, because you're not allowed to take material out and move it into the bed. Creek does it all the time, Mother Nature does that. But I agree with Bill. I just, if you open up a park here, and actually we've had the discussion, Sharon and I have had a discussion, why don't we have a park? And then the other thing is, well, if you have a park, and you've got a whole bunch of people going up here and they're going to enjoy themselves at whatever expense it is to us, and I don't think we're prepared to handle all those responsibilities on a private property situation. Secondly, back to the H spot. We're going to have a helicopter land here. When is that?
It's Saturday.
It's Saturday. So last time the helicopter landed here, we had a nice push on the insurance for 1 year on the use of the helicopter. I think it's $40 a year or something like that.
Native Air.
In other words, you can buy this policy, and I think we should have another push on that, whether we put it out through the newsletter or however that, and if anybody doesn't remember what this is, Carolyn and Vern Tucker's grandson, it cost him $20,000 to fly that kid to Phoenix, and if you buy this insurance for $40 a year, that's all it costs you.
When they come, they always bring pamphlets, but I'll email Eric, the one who's setting it up, and make sure that they bring plenty with.
Because I talk to people about this all the time. I go, well, where is that information? I think we need it on our website, and I think it's on WCAA website, I think. I'm not sure. But we need it on our website also.
There's also one for the
Lifeline. But they're an annual thing in September, so it's about time for them to do that. Anything else?
You're too late now for Lifeline.
Lifeline.
I think you can subscribe anytime. You just get a shortened period. Anything else? Roger, do you have anything? Rudy?
Yeah, a couple of things. Lynn, to your point, there are a lot of federal lands around here where they allow gold panning, and we can just redirect them. If they park at the Highland Center, all those streams down there have tons of gold diggers down there, so if it's an issue, and they have a bathroom there. So I think that we're not cutting them off from doing what they want to do. We're just redirecting them to the proper place to do it. I agree. Logic, you know. When it comes to the money for medical, I don't know what it is that medically we would do if you had more money, but that's a discussion the two of you need to have, so that when we're establishing the budget, that if you think you need to have A, B, and C, and you all are in agreement, then it goes into the budget. That's why we don't need a special fund for this stuff. We need to know what it is you need, so it goes into the budget, so then during that annual period, you know you've got that money to spend on it versus just everything being a special deal. You know, nobody's cut off the budget saying you can't have something. Matter of fact, generally, we don't even look at the income side when we're doing the budget originally. We like to sit down and just do the budget and see where we stand, and then we'll see if we have to pare it back. But see whether it falls, and that's what happened this year. It turned out perfect. I mean, there's money in the budget for medical. I just don't know what it is. Everybody is so hot to guess that we're not getting it. And I know we can't answer that back and forth. The third thing was Lifeline. You know, one of the things, so I've signed up for Lifeline. They don't even send you a card back. So if you're in a mess, I mean, the least they could do is have a little membership card.
They do have one.
I never got it after I paid.
I would call them back down there, but there is a card that they have even on the renewals.
Really?
Now, Lifeline has switched hands to another agency type.
Not Lifeline. I'm thinking of Native Air.
Native Air? I know right now they're 3 weeks behind in sending out.
I think it's from last year.
Okay. I would call them again.
Okay.
Get the number that's on there.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Russ? Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
Can we talk about something else?
Oh, okay. How about why don't you make a motion to adjourn?
I made that an hour ago.
Okay.
But
Nobody seconded it.
Right. Do I have a second?
Second.
Rudy
second. I have one more space. You didn't pass yourself, Roger. We have a check here for $3,600 for the participation of the Walker Fire Department, the Great Gate Fire. Those are the kind of things that when we follow through and do the paperwork add up to a lot of money very quickly.
That all falls on Todd Kleinness. He does the heavy lifting. It is an onerous task, and he's the CFO of a electrical company. So he's very comfortable in the world of paperwork and forms and such, and thank God we have him.
But it pays, obviously, because that's...
Yes.
I guarantee you we did $3,600 worth of wear and tear to that four water tanker going up and down that road. It was miraculous that the thing ever made it up. People couldn't even walk up the road, let alone drive it.
Well, then as a public interest information thing, Russ is going through the records here. He found a 1976 postmarked letter to my granddad, R.J. Clauthier.
Found it where?
He found it in the file.
In the box. You want to deliver it?
Nope. I'm going to put it in our scrapbook, you know. 1976. All right. Meeting you out.